Welcome back to The How, Channeling Water Solutions, a podcast from W12 Plus program. The How focuses on water solutions and the people behind them from around the world. In this third season, we are excited to bring to you a series of 6 episodes highlighting locally led organizations and their work in water, sanitation, and hygiene across Ethiopia, Ghana, and Uganda.
Each episode brings a story of a local organization and its people. The stories highlight pressing water challenges in their communities and how these locally led organizations are addressing them. They are locally led, community-driven water solutions.
I'm your host, Kajal.
And I'm your host, Anna. Kajal, in this episode, you spoke with Dr. Adenik Yarajilo, the founder and the president of Ethiopian Women in Water Association, AWIWA. Tell us a bit about Dr. Adenik and AWIWA.
AWIWA is a locally led organization based in Addis Ababa, committed to strengthening gender equality and social inclusion within the water sector. AWIWA's participation and facilitation ensures women are at the table during decision-making sessions on the water. AWIWA's core function are to raise awareness, mobilize resources, advocate for public policy change, build capacity, and network.
Thanks, Kajal. Let's listen in and learn a bit more about the Ethiopian Women in Water Association.
My name is Dr. Adenik Yarajilo. My academic background is a first degree in hydraulic and water source engineering, second degree in hydraulic and hydropower engineering, third degree or PhD in water source engineering and management. So my journey regarding to water engineering, my dad is a hydrogeologist and he's working at the water organization in Ethiopia. So always the discussion of the water is it's there at home. When I had been a kid, always I'm hearing about water, what's happened, everything. At that time, this passion and studying about water, I passionate on that. Based on that, when the selection of university and the field comes after high school, so I select based on my interest. The interest was built up from home. Always I was hearing from water day to day from my family. So based on that, I joined for first degree at Abraminj University, which is located in the southern western part of Ethiopia, and the Tauti University in Ethiopia regarding to the water engineering, even in the eastern Africa. So my academic background is like this. So the other is I like, because I was interested in the passion, I joined water resource engineering. So I studied water resource engineering. So my first job was I had a good scoring or grade. So I got an opportunity to work at the university as a lecturer. I started working as a lecturer at Abraminj University. Parallelly, immediately from after my first degree or bachelor degree, I started almost after 2 months, after break of 2 months, just summer vacation after summer vacation, I started my work plus parallelly my master's degree. Immediately when I finished my master's degree, I got an opportunity to continue my PhD, immediately after defending my research, even before receiving my degree, I got an opportunity. Then I started my PhD. Then I, after Senate decision, I bring my master's degree to the university. So with this mechanism, I joined academic background in my work. It looks like this. Then after my PhD, I was an associate dean. I got an opportunity, I applied and I win to become associate dean at Addis Ababa Science and Technology University. I worked there as assistant professor in the university plus the associate dean for College of Civil and Architecture in Addis Ababa Science and Technology University. Then I was appointed by the Prime Minister to serve my country and the people as Director General at the federal level. That means at the country level. So to manage the basin, because Ethiopia is divided into 12 basins. We have 8 wet basin or river basins, one lake basin, and three dry basin to manage overall water resource management, developments, and informations, and the transboundary water hydro diplomacy and transboundary water management and governance issue related with this one. So I appointed by the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, the current Prime Minister. So I served on that position for 4 years. Then I went back to university. Just I worked for 8 months. Then I got an opportunity to work at the Nile Basin Initiative as Nile River Basin Investment Program Regional Coordinator. Now I'm working at the Nile Basin Initiative as Nile River Basin Investment Program Regional Coordinator. Then I have also another activities. I'm gender lead for Nile Climate Resilient Cooperation, Nile Cooperation Climate Resilient Project, which is supporting by SIWA World Bank, gender lead for all, including the different organization I'm leading, the NileSec, our own organization plus, facilitating the implementation of gender part at the Eastern Nile Technical Regional Office, plus in the Nile Equatorial Lake Subsidiary Action Program, Lake Victoria Basin Commission, Nile Basin Discourse, and the NileSec. They have gender points or the gender focal points with them. We are implementing, but I'm organizing overall plus the NileSec one. And also I'm organizing, supporting, or supervising young professionals at the NileSec. We have young professional program to capacitate coming generation. So I'm supporting with that. In addition to this, personally, voluntarily, as I create one association in Ethiopia, which you mentioned, Ethiopian Women in Water Association. Now I'm founder and the president of this association, or Ethiopian Women in Water Association. Regarding to family, I'm the oldest child to my family. My family have 10 child. Normally, my mom gave birth for 13. I am the oldest one, and 10 of us alive. And I'm the first to my family. That means I think I'm a good role model to my younger sisters and brothers. Thank you.
And you are not just only a good role model to your family, but also to the nation and to the women's around and everywhere in the world. So it's a huge, you are a huge inspiration, I feel. And your immense qualification and experience just shows how much passionate you are about water and the whole water sector. And now, can you tell us a bit about your organization and what projects or initiative Aviva works on related to water?
Before I start about the initiation and how we initiate the Ethiopian Women in Water Association, just to add on the previous about my work,
yes,
experience. Yeah, normally I have more than 16 years work experience. From this one is leadership, and also in the transboundary water management and the governance, in the research, teaching, because I was an assistant professor and I was giving course in the supervising, advising students, different students at the master's and undergraduate level. And also working as negotiators, because I had been the part of Grand Ethiopian Innocence Dam, a negotiation member from technical part for 4 years. And I will serve my country as a technical advisory committee and at the AMCAO. AMCAO means African Ministers of Water Council at that level. And also I was chair for Eastern Africa for 2 years. Then I was served as Nile Technical Advisory Committee member and the chair of my country, Ethiopia. And I work as Nile Equatorial Lake Subsidiary Action Program Technical Advisory Committee, and I was chair. Plus, I was INSAPT. INSAPT means Eastern Nile Subsidiary Action Program team. I was the chair of my country and also the chair of that INSAPT leader. So just to add my additional experience in addition to academic and the leadership, as Director General plus the current position. When we become to establishment of Ethiopian Women in Water Association, When I had been the director general to lead Basin Development Authority at the country level, most of the women was communicating me. Why? They need job. They have master's degree, but they don't have job. They have first degree, they don't have job. They have two different master's degrees, they don't have job because of different reason. Some of them after birth, so they after birth or after giving birth, so they decided to stay at home to support their family and also children to take care. Children, when the children grow up, she want to went back to her job, but already that job is occupied by someone. So getting new job was difficult. So their understanding, since I'm at that position, big position, they start communicating to support them. But that position by have its rules and the procedures. So I can't employ anyone because of I know. So the one is, okay, I was starting thinking, how can I help this, my sisters? The second one is I saw the empowerment, some gap. What was that gap? Our plan was even to balance gender balancing. That means in the leadership level, there was a different allocation, restructuring and allocation of the staff at that time to bring more women into the in the leadership part. At that time, most of the women, they are not ready to pick because always it's required to empower and to become ready for next level. Some of them is ready, but when we check from the engineering perspective or from our academic perspective, most of them, they was not there ready. So because of this, some empowerment is required, always empowering, improving our knowledge, because from time to time, the technology is changing, everything is changing, always is required to shape our every knowledge and ability based on that. So we observe, or I observe that gap, okay, let us create some mechanism. So to support or to support each other. For example, I have a good link and I'm at a good position. So I have an opportunity to meet different international community, international professionals which working in the area. So I'm working with different peoples at the globe. So I have a good communication and communication and information sharing opportunity. So the others, they don't have. Even she doesn't have a clue where she will apply to get job. Even she doesn't have any of information of advertisement or some announcement about job or training or academic opportunities or education opportunities. There is a gap because when, especially women after marriage, immediately running home, supporting family, caring children, even if she educated, this is a common for most of women. So we observed that, I observed this gap. Then I told to my friends, support me or to work together. When I shared with them, okay, they was happy. Then we start establishing this network. Then the network is focused. One is to empower because we observe that gap. So it's required to ladies or women to become ready for any position, for leadership position and different level positions, high and medium and different position to empower them. The other is networking opportunity. As I said, we don't have networking opportunity to share information, to share, to exchange our knowledge, and also even to invite senior people to share their idea and to learn from them what we know or what we have to share with others. We don't have an opportunity or network. So the other pillar of the association is networking. The other is through networking and the empowerment to increase visibility of the women at the leadership position and at the different technical level. So the other is further, we'll revise the policy and the strategy and we'll advise and support the government to consider and implement gender part or mainstreaming or for equity of the gender. So based on these pillars, we started because of this initiation or initiative, we established Ethiopian Women in Water Association.
Wow, that's a great story and a huge inspiration. and really very conscious efforts of bringing uplifting women from your position. It's a very inspiring. What are some of the biggest water related challenges you see at the local and regional level of where you operate?
The water challenge is when we go to the local level, especially in the rural area. The big challenge in Ethiopian rural area is even getting water, safe water, nearest to their home. So most times the women, they spend most of their time by walking to fetch water. So this one, when they do this, they lose their energy, even they don't have time to make money, even they don't have time to go to school because they will fetch water, then they will support their family by cooking or some social norms. So the one challenge is getting water or safe water nearest to their home. Even the water is nearest to or in some walk distance, getting clean water or potable water by itself is a big challenge. So sometimes in some area they suffer because of different disease. So they, because of that, most time they spend in the mayo, in the hospital. This is getting potable water is the one challenge. The other is getting clean water or safe water is the other challenge in the local area. The other, this is regarding to the water supply. Because of that, especially the women, they are behind, most area behind education or empowering themselves by economically and also by education because they don't have time. During the, in the morning, she wake up, then she walk, she fetch, she come back, then she cook breakfast. So even if she is married, she will manage her family. If she, even she's not married, so she will help her family. Then when she reaches school after doing this one, it's already the time gone. Even sometimes because of some burden, she will withdraw from school. So this is a mechanism. This is the big challenges what they have. Even in the very nice clean area, naturally the agroforest is good area, they have a challenge of practically what I know, they have the challenge of getting clean water. So because of the economic challenges, because of the financial limitation, they have the big challenge. Even overall in the wash, water supply, sanitation, and hygiene, they have a big challenge. Is what I know is this one at the different parts of the country, especially in the rural area. This is a main challenge of the women getting clean water, plus also the first of all, getting the water source by itself. The other is even the water is there. The challenge is getting potable water, clean water.
And in this issue of access to water, clean water, how do you involve these women and communities into the process of development and improvement?
Women inclusion, including women, for example, when we plan any development, it's required to consult them. Why? The women in water is highly intimate. If we ask them water about water management, they will tell us a lot. So we have scientific knowledge that they have indigenous knowledge. It's required to incorporate this to solve the solution. How? For example, if we are going there to build, for example, water supply projects, let us consult them. Let us engage them. Most times, they always women, they are working to fetch water, but the males are sitting and discussing about water and deciding without involvement of women. This is in the rural area. In the most part, it's common, but in some parts, some improvement is there. In the urban area, from time to time, improvement is there, but still not a lot of work is required to do to balance this and women to become the part of the decision maker. So if we engage them, because she knows the challenge, she knows the problem, at which time, which problem or the good thing is happen, that will design, we will construct the good water resource infrastructure or the good water resource system. So when we start or from beginning, it's required to consult them or to engage them in this discussion, in the development discussion. In the different discussion, in the decision part, is required to engage them. They know the people that are who facing challenge more than male is women. So he knows, by the way, someone who faced when you face challenge or when we face challenge, we learn from them, from challenge. So we know, because to pass from that challenge, we have our mind start creating some solution or some idea. So we will get that information from them. If we are not there, we don't know. But they know practically because they are living on that situation. So it's required to engage them from low level to high level. For example, in the policy strategy, when we become to in the high level, in the decision maker or in the policy discussion part, it's required to engage the woman. It's required to hear the thought of the woman in that topic or in the policy strategy, what incorporate or what's considered in the policy and the strategy. So with this mechanism, we'll balance and we will sort out or we'll find a solution for the problem.
Yes, and I think in your conversation, you are again and again bringing a very strong connection between water and gender, which is very strongly interwoven. And how do you see other issues, global challenges intersecting with water and gender, like climate change or food insecurity in the communities that you work in?
Yeah, now the global challenge, like the climate change, it affects the food security, energy security, water security, environmental issue or ecosystem sustainability, all is affected. So when climate change happens, repeat drought and flood is happening. For example, in Ethiopia, the Ethiopia is one of repeatedly flood and drought happen area, or always happen within short period of time, flood and drought happen. So during this time, who is the first vulnerable? It's women. So in the global level, different people are talking about the climate change, this food security, energy security, environmental sustainability, water security, different research, the researchers they are conducting different research, different meeting, conference, seminars is happening. But it's required to start from grassroots level. So everyone is at this time globally giving at high level, but what about in the low level? At the organizations working related with grassroots, and also the communities living in the grassroots. In addition to that, is okay. The policy strategy, that one is a high level, is okay, which is globally running and implementing or going, but it's required to give attention for the low level and the middle level too. What I want to say in this one.
And you also mentioned about indigenous knowledge when you were talking about women. So what role do you think this indigenous knowledge and traditional water systems and management play in today's water solution?
Yeah, for water solution, for example, if we check the water supply treatment, in what done even the chemical for us, we use different chemicals to treat water. But these indigenous people, they know how they treat using what they have. So if we combine their knowledge plus our scientific knowledge, we'll get best solution. The other is even about the resource, water resources. Sometimes what happened when I visit one part of, in the northern part, when I visit one site, the reservoir is constructed, every infrastructure is there, but the water is not there. Then I ask the people, the community, what's going on? The infrastructure is here, but you don't have water. Yes, they said, we told them. We told them this is this water for during rainfall time or during rainfall time, the water, some of water is available. Then we told them the engineers and the other team was not interested to hear us. They construct, but no water. So empty, the groundwater hole and infrastructure is there. The community, they know, in their area, because that is their land. They born, they live in that area. They know the weather, the condition, the characteristics, everything. They have information and knowledge. So it's required to engage them, and also it's required to hear from them. The other is when I, during my PhD, when I conducted my research fieldwork. So to know the river channel change or the cross-sectional change, I went and I asked the community, okay, previously this river channel, is it possible to know the way, the width, how much it was narrow or wide? Then they explained, no, no, previously they shows, they took stick, then they show how much it's decreased, increased the water level, everything. We calculate that one, for example, discharge Q. We said, but they will tell. Now, for us, we say Q is equal to A times V, cross-sectional area times the velocity, the speed of the water. So we, this is our scientific. For them, no, no, no. When, during, from the margin, okay, if the water reach here, that means the peak flow time. So for that time, it's required to take care because the water is, or the flow is very high. When the level is here, now it's okay, normal. If the level is low, so this year it's dry or the water level is low, they know, they have knowledge. So during our planning, our implementation, water quality, quantity, and even for dams, for different constructions, our scientific plus the indigenous knowledge, combining this one, it will help us to get best result. Rather than sometimes we fail, we decide, no, no, we know, we'll do, we'll do, because our map is showing this one, we will say like that, but we, sometimes we fail. So it's best if we engage. Other, if we can't engage, the other time we construct, when we go back, they will destroy. Why? They don't know the benefit. So it's during when we engage them, we will explain it to them. Okay, this material, this construction, it will help you how with this, this is, for example, water supply. Now you are suffering by walking long distance for long hours to fetch water. Now we are constructing water infrastructure here. You will keep this infrastructure, that one. You will minimize your efforts, your cost. So you will go to school. It's required to show how they will benefit from that. If we do that one, automatically, they start even like take care for that infrastructure in addition to using their knowledge. When we engage them, when we use the indigenous knowledge, we'll give best solution in addition to that. So even they will protect that one. Even someone come in touch, they will defend because they know the benefit because we work with them and we give to them information.
So it's very interesting to see this collaborative approach in water designing water solutions. And when we are talking about using different knowledge, scientific and indigenous, what about collaborative approach of involving different stakeholders, whether it's women, local communities, government, other organizations? What is your stake on that?
Stakeholder engagement is very important. Very important. For example, the government, in the policy, regarding to policy strategy, that is a responsibility that will help. Even that means when we work together, we will, for example, let me create some stakeholder group. For example, if we have, for our organization is Women in Water Association. If we have a stakeholder from government, from university, from another NGO, from local community, from global partner. So the combination of this, we will create something different together. How? The policy, regarding to policy, let us start from the community. So we want to address some challenge in the community. So the source of information, this will come from there and from different research if it is have the area, have research. Otherwise, we'll find from field and from that community. We'll engage them, we'll find the information and also even the knowledge, indigenous knowledge from them. Then, using this one, the researchers and the others, the engineering, the construction part, they will do their analysis based on their scientific knowledge. Then the other NGOs which working regarding to women and water, we will get another information and support or knowledge exchange from that. Then the government, if the policy gap and the strategy, everything we will discuss based on our result, we'll discuss with them and even we'll push or we'll support them to work in the policy strategy and related perspective based on their mandate. Then when the other community, global community or like partners train, we'll implement together. If they have resource, we'll support that you we use, we will use that resource to implement what the project we are planning or designing or designed or planned, we'll implement with them. So different stakeholder engagement or collaboration is very important. For example, sometimes, by the way, we are doing the same thing, but we are running alone. So we can't achieve and address everything if we run alone. So it's required to work together, go together, and collaborate with our partners based on our at which part collaboration is required. Some of them focus in the women, some of them focus in water, some of them empowering women, some of them doing some assessment and research regarding women. There is some. So based on the different relation or in our mandate and what we want to do, so collaboration with others will make difference, like the when we collaborate with the community and use indigenous knowledge, as we will make difference. Also, when we collaborate with different stakeholders, we'll make difference. We'll support each other. When we support each other, we'll support our community, our nation. So collaboration is very important and it will help. Even for example, when, for example, through the ECOSIEVE, when different partners or organizations working in the women and water wash area, we are learning each other and we are supporting each other. So when we collaborate, we'll get more. That means our resource, that means the knowledge from that side. We are getting information, knowledge from the other side. We are giving for others experience and knowledge. So this knowledge exchange, experience exchange, and also practically when we implement in the ground, we'll support each other and we'll make difference to our community.
My second last question for the show is, looking ahead, what are your thoughts about the future of water management and sustainability?
So for future of water source management and sustainability, the one is engaging women at the different level of decision of water source management is required. Because naturally, to manage water, we are first of all gifted. Second, women is highly intimated with water. Third, naturally, we have good management experience from nature. So we will bring this, or the woman she would, or the woman will bring her knowledge into in the decision making part. So involving women or gender equity and equality at the different decision making part, it will help the woman to become the part of that and also for sustainable water source management. So engaging the woman is the one. The other is empowering women. It will also help because to become at the different level, to at the different decision-making level, this also it's contribute for sustainable management of water. If we go with this more male-dominated part, in some part will fail. When we engage from time to time, if we capacitate and engage women, we'll get a good result. To get a good result, let us engage them and also engage the community, collaborate with the community, use combined scientific knowledge and indigenous knowledge, collaborate with different stakeholders. So we will work together. So for we will contribute a lot for this sustainable water source management. The other is collaboration with countries, for example, collaboration with stakeholders. Sometimes if we live in the country upstream, downstream, if we are not collaborated, sometimes it's very difficult. So it's required to collaborate with our neighbors. Also, it's very important.
Yes, water is such a complex issue and it has such a deep human element. Like you mentioned, collaborative approach at many different levels involving many stakeholders is very, very important. And as we move towards the end, is there anything else that you would like to share that we didn't cover or any advice for our listeners?
So my advice or request for global community is let us support the organizations which working at the local level to support our community, the community, and also to implement in the ground. And also let us collaborate or from my side, I'm inviting all communities which hearing this podcast to work with us, with Ethiopian Women in Water Association for future sustainable water resource management at the Ethiopia level, because Ethiopia is upstream country. When sustainable water resource management is a downstream country also, many downstream countries also, they will benefit for benefit of our nation. Let us collaborate and work together and let us make change together. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Eddie, for such insightful knowledge, experience, and inspiring story. And so many things that you are trying, achieving, working on. We wish you all the best and good luck. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Thanks so much.
More information on this locally led organization can be found in the podcast description, including their social media handles. Thank you for joining us.